Say yes. Allow.
Switch it with that arm.
Allow. Thank you.
Let's review again the Mishnah and Daf Pei Zayin on the base. The opening Mishnah in Perek Isha Rabba distinguished between a situation where the woman is an Eshese, she was married for years, and then the husband disappears. The husband goes to Medina Sayyam, she doesn't know whether he's alive or dead. So the Resha, the first half of the Mishnah says that if Eid Echad comes and tells her that Neis Bailos, and Ikarad Din Eid Echad should not be believed, should it be considered a Dom, should be Yerbi, and Eid to Eid. And so somehow or another, we say Eid Echad is believed over here. Probably Midirabban. Eid Echad is believed, and the woman is permitted to remarry. But we have to warn her in advance. The Gemara explains, we tell her in advance, you better investigate and ascertain that the husband is dead, because in the event that the husband comes back alive, and the whole heter was based on the error, there are going to be all kinds of penalties. So it's your responsibility, you have to check up. So that's only if the woman remarries based on Eid Echad. But then the Mishnah has a line, the Gemara points out it's Reb Shimon speaking. When we read the Mishnah, one could be led to believe, all the penalties don't apply. You could have read that the Mishnah is speaking. So the Gemara says, it's not the Mishnah, it's Reb Shimon speaking. There's a line in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon Aymer, and then on the next line, it's still Reb Shimon talking. In this is Shalab Shus, none of the penalties apply. So the Gemara, that's what we were learning last year. So the Gemara says, Omar Rav Hachi Hilchasa, on Tzadik Aleph, on Aleph, and 20 lines from the bottom. The Gemara quotes a caption from the Mishnah. This is Shalab Shus. If she remarried, she didn't need a het to bezin. It wasn't based on Eid Echad, it was based on two Eidim. So Rav Huna quotes in the name of Rab, that's how he passed. And the Gemara says, it's Rav Shimon speaking. Why don't you identify this Rav Shimon? So the Gemara has a whole discussion why is she permitted to go back to the first husband? Because it's like an Eshes Ish, she's in sub b'shoigeg. She's not obligated to make any research. Two witnesses come and they say the husband is dead. So he's dead, right? To wait him on that morning. What do you want? It's like Oynes. And she says, Shenensa. By Havala Lameba. So the Gemara asks a series of kashas. How can you say that whenever it wasn't her fault, Aneshes Ish remarries? Because she thought the husband was no longer alive. Or the husband gave her a get and the get was puzzled. And she doesn't know halacha. How is she supposed to know the get is not kosher? So the Mishnah, the Gemara keeps on quoting Mishnah from Gittin that if the get is puzzled and she remarries based on the get, she's not allowed to go back to the first husband. She has to get divorced from the second husband. Children, mamzerim, here and there. All the penalty. The Gemara says, why? Why is it her fault? What do you want it to do? She's not mechuyev to know how to learn. The Gemara keeps on answering. She should have shouted to a Tam Chacham. She should have asked the Shaila. She shouldn't have rushed so quickly. Gemara gives a teretz each time. A whole explanation to explain that it is her fault. It is her fault. So we left off, I don't think we finished all the cases. There was one case, each Amoira quotes a different case. So I think we got up to the Gemara, Amra Abashi Toshma, Shinesh Moish, Yishem Miro. In the get, there's a takonas. In the get, there's a din, you have to write the name of the husband and the wife. In other stars, there is no such requirement. On Tzadik Aleph on the base, about 13 lines from the bottom or so. Amravashi Toshma Shina Shmo Yishmo Shemira v'shemira. The din is that in a get, let's say I write shtar. I owe you $100,000 and I sign my name on the bottom. So I have to say who I am. So I say, I owe you $100,000, I sign my name. Then the guy who comes to collect $100,000, he's a poor man. What do you mean, how can I owe him $100,000? This is ridiculous. He lent me money. I write, I borrowed $100,000 from you. So you is whoever produces the shtar comes. The Gemara says, even if it's a, I'll say, I never met you before. How can it be? The shtar can't be testifying about you. That's the halacha. The shtar says, I owe you. I owe you means moitzik sabzeh, the bearer, I owe the bearer of this note. Whoever the bearer of the note is, I owe him $100,000. It doesn't have to have his name. It doesn't have to have his name. It has to, if it says, I owe you, I have to sign my name on the bottom. Otherwise, it doesn't say anything. But it doesn't have to say to whom I owe the money. By get is a special din. That's a Ran and Gittin. That all of the Achreinim on Shulchan Aruch quote. The Ran and Gittin says on the Pasuk, it says, because of law, sefer krisus. How do you translate because of law safer creases? What do you mean safer? So one Tana, Rav Yosi Aglili, one Tana is of the opinion in the Mishnah and Gittin that safer means the get should be written on parchment, a document, safer on parchment. How do you know even if it's written on paper, it's also good? So you need a riboy from a posuk, and even if it's written on another material, it's also good. But it has to be dumyid the sefer. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, if you write a get on a balchai or you write a get on oichlim, it's not acceptable. Let's say he, just like people have a wedding cake, so he has a divorce cake. So he has a get, and he writes in icing, Hariat Mugureshes, many, he gives it a get, Hariat Mugureshes. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili said that it's no good because sefer has to be dumyid the sefer. It can't be oichlim and it can't be balchayim. And the Mishnah says we don't pasken like him. We pasken. It can be Yochlim and it can be Balachayim. If you take, let's say, an animal and you tattoo on the animal or you write on the horn of the animal, Hariyat Megureshes Men, and you give it the whole animal, so the Mishnah says, get. If you write on a Balachayim, you write on Yochlim, it is good. But the word Sefer, don't you need Dumi the Sefer? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosi Aglili translates Sefer in the sense of a piece of parchment. Normally a document written on a piece of parchment. And he needs a ribui to tell me even if the get is written on paper, on cardboard, or carved out on wood, it's also good even if it's not written on parchment. And the Chacham disagree. They say the word sefer means sfiras dvarim hudios. It means the kosev lo sefer krisus, he should write a text, a specific text for the get. So the Rishonim asked, of course he needs a text. What, are you going to give a blank piece of paper? Because if you have to write something, you're going to write... The President of the United States is Mr. Trump, and you're going to give the get to your wife, so how is she Megureshes? Of course you have to write. Why do you need a pasuk to say that the get has to have a text? So the Ran says, no. What it means is you need Sfiras Dvar Miser. You need extra Lashonis in a get that other Shtaras don't need. So, for example, the Ran says you need Shem HaBaal V'Shem HaIsha. Let's say the husband has... He writes, I, Yankel Shmerling, whatever he writes his name, first name, last name, his father's name, Shem, Akoyin Halevi, I'm divorcing my wife. He only has one wife. Or he has two wives, and he gave the get to one of the wives. So the fact that she's holding on to the get, if it would have said, I borrowed from you $100,000, doesn't have to say who you is, whoever's holding on to the shtar. So that's Mashlim Nemuchach, the Tfisis Bala Shtar. Is Mashlim Nemuchach Mitocha, so we know that the Shtar is talking to that person. So here also, if he only has one wife, or even has two wives, he says, Hireini Megarish Oisach, I'm divorcing you. So that should be good. So the Ran says, no, there's a Dimin HaTor, you have to have Shem HaBaal, Shem HaIsha. Then the Mishnah has a Takonim of the Rabbanon, that if the fellow goes under a different name in a different country, when he lives in Hungary, and there they call him Leibish. And then when he comes to this country, they call him RLA. They give him a different, or Andrew, whatever. In different places, you know, with different names, you have to write all the machunas and all the demiscaries. What his name is when he gets an aliyah, and how people call him, how his friends refer to him. You have to write all the names. Then you have to write Shem Iro. You have to write the name of the city. Which name or what city? The city where he was born. Who cares? I was born in Skeeton, Pennsylvania. Meinaf Kamina. No, you don't write the name of the city where the fellow was born, that's irrelevant. You don't write the name of the city where he happens to be today, that's also irrelevant. You write, like, Abitzel Petterburger. He lived in St. Petersburg. So he had a last name also. I forgot, what was his name?
Blaser.
Yeah, I forgot already my son. Abitzel Blaser was his last name. But people know him as Abitzel Petterburger because he lived in Petersburg. So that became part of his name. So Shemiro means the name of the city where he lives. Today, we call people by the first name and the last name. We don't really write the name of the city where the fellow lives. People are not known by where they lived. Most people are not known by where they live today. In Europe, they were. In the Mir Yeshiva, in other yeshivas, they could only take one student from every city. Because there were so many cities. So if it's a big city, they would allow two students from every city. So each student was known by his first name and the name of the city where he came from. But the now the people are not known by the people are known by the first name or the last name. So we don't write to Shemira and Shemira, the name of the city where he's identified with that name. We don't write the family name either. See, you have to write the name in such a way to identify the person. So the Mishnah Gittin raises an issue. What if you have two people who live in the same city? New York City is gigantic. You have millions of people living here. So if you have Shnei Yosef and Shimon, you have two people with the same name and the father has the same name. So how do you identify whom you're talking about? So you add on HaKoyin HaLevi. A lot of times that doesn't help either. You have two people, Yosef and Shimon HaKoyin. So still how do you identify? So really, it would have made more sense to write the family name. But we have a meaning, we don't write the family name. I remember Rav Soloveitchik once said, if he really would have more chutzpah, he would introduce that they should write the family name in the get also. He introduced they should write the family name in the ksuba. And the people were talking about that. That Rav Moshe Feinstein also wrote. The more correct is when the Adam signed, they should write Ploni ben Ploni, Limishpachas Ploni. They should write the family name. And the name of the Chosin Kala Rav Moshe in his tshuvas, he writes like that. In real life, I don't think he ever did it. I don't know. But in the Sefer, he writes like that. Really, more correct is in Iksuba, you should write Ploini ben Ploini, Lemishpachas Ploini, what the family name is. And again, the meaning is that you don't. Because Tosfos writes on the Mishnah Gittin, B'diavad, if you wrote the family name, means instead of writing Ploini ben Ploini, just write Ploini in the family name. Herschel Shecht, instead of saying Herschel ben father's name, so that would be good, B'diavad. So Tosfos says, but L'chatchil, we never write the family name. Why not? That's better to identify the person with the family name.
It's not any worse than mystery.
What?
It's not any worse than mystery.
Right. Well, it should have been. So the meaning is that we don't put in family names. So deep dark, the mystery. Why not? Yeah, I don't know. So that's what the Mishnah is talking about. You wrote the name of the husband, but you wrote the wrong name. The get was given in Hungary, and Hungary goes under a different name. Yeah, in the other country he goes under that name. So that's called Shino Shmoi Ushmo. He wrote all the names are correct, but in this country he goes under a different alias. So Shemira, the name of the city where he lives, is part of his name. That's how people identify him. Yankel Amira, Yankel Karlina, Yankel Karlina. He had the one who wrote the Mishkan is Yankel. His name is Yankel Karlina. It was the rabbi in Karlina. He had a last name. I forgot what it was already. A lot of the Gdolim, they were known by the city that they came from, as opposed to their own family name. They had a family name.
In the time of the Bali Tosfos, they had last names.
Yeah. Like Tosfos says, like Ibn Ezra. But apparently, the Bali Tosfos also had Ibn Ezra. It wasn't from the Bali Tosfos. But they write Kimo like the name Ibn Ezra, they also had.
But that's his name.
Abudasir Leon. Their names, French names. Tovelum, Bonfi. That just like the Goyim had last names, so the Jews had last names also. Sir Leon and Bonfi, yeah. So the Mishnah says, if you wrote the wrong name of the get, so the get is Pasul, and she's living with the second husband, should we treat her like a Saita? She needs a get from the second husband, the first husband. All the penalties that apply in the first Mishnah here apply there in that Mishnah. Gemara says, V'amai, what is it her fault? Mahavla lemeva, what he wanted to do. So the Gemara says, she should have shown the get to a rabbi. and to ask. Today the get is supervised by a rabbi. In the days of the Tanoim, the get was, we said last week, the Gemara has a lotion, and then the Baba Basa, to call the Megarish, but Beidina Megarish. People, they didn't have the practice of getting divorced in the presence of a bezin. They didn't have a rabbi either. The husband wrote a get, and he gave it to his wife. One, two, three, a fartik. So the Gemara says, that's why he didn't know, the husband didn't know the dinim. So he only wrote the name that he goes under in a different city, in a different country. So she should have shown the get to a rabbi, a qualified rabbi, before she was prepared to remarry. Sure. So the Gemara says, it is her fault, and we don't consider an eshesish shezintza ba'oinus. Then the Gemara says, Tashma, another get. They quote Mishnais from Gittin. There are two kinds of a get. There's a get pashut and a get makushar. A get means a shtar. So there's two kinds of shtaris. So a get pashut, a shtar pashut, means the whole shtar is written on one side of the page. You write a few lines, and then you have the witnesses sign at the bottom. That's a get pashut. Then you have a get makushar. The Gemara says they introduced the institution of a get makushar because kohanim are sometimes hot-headed. As I state in the Gemara, I haven't seen the kohanim are more hot-headed than anybody else. I don't know. That's what the Gemara says. And once the Kohen's going to get angry, his wife is going to divorce his wife. He can't remarry her. When he's going to calm down, he's not allowed to marry a grusha, even though it's his own grusha. She was married to someone else. He's not allowed to remarry his own grusha. That was an issue in recent years. The Chassam Sofer says we have to be marka toiva to Moshe Mendelssohn, who went down in history as if he was the founder of the Reform movement, because Mendelssohn defended the Psak Aloch of the Torah Shebal Peh, that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha, even his own Grusha. Apparently there were real Apikursim who said when the Torah prohibits a Kohen marrying a Grusha, that's only if she was married to someone else. But if I was married to her, I'm a Kohen and I divorce her, I'm allowed to remarry her. So Mendelssohn defended the din in the Mishnayos, and he explained in court. Apparently there was an issue in court. Someone wanted to marry his own Grusha, and the Rabbanim would make Masada Kedushin, so he was suing the rabbi in court for religious persecution. Why doesn't he let him marry his own Grusha? So Mendelssohn defended the tradition of the Torah Shabbat. But so the Gemara says they introduced that a get makusha takes much longer to write, so that the Kohenim should calm down and they shouldn't want to, they should change their mind. They should decide not to divorce their wife so quickly. So how do you write a get makusha? So you write a line or two, then you fold it over and you sew it up, then you have an 8 sign on the back. Then you write another line or two, then you fold it over and you sew it up. Everything takes a lot of time. And then you have another 8 sign on the back. Then you have write another line or two, then you sew it up, and then you have an 8 sign on the back. So the Gemara says, a get makusha, you have to have a minimum of 3 witnesses signing on the back. Because the Pasuk says in Chumash, al pi shnayim edim, al pi shlosh edim. So the Mishnah asks in Makkos, in the first parak of Makkos, the Mishnah, im skayem sa'edis pi shnayim, if 2 witnesses are acceptable, so of course 3 witnesses are good. So why does it say in the Chumash, if there are 2 or 3 witnesses, you can win the case in Mamanis, or you give the fellow the death penalty? So the Gemara says, the Pasuk is alluding to the 2 kinds of shtaris. I get Pashut and I get Makusha. So I get Pashut, everything is written on one side of the page, or you need 2 witnesses in Bible. You have a get Makusha, and they're signing on the back of the page, so every time you have a stitch, you have to have witnesses. So you have to have at least 3. You have to have at least witnesses. 3 witnesses signing on the back. Then the Gemara said, what are you talking about? The whole institution get from Kusha is a takana de rabbana. The Pasuk is talking about takana de rabbana. Gemara said, it's only an asmachta. That's not what the Pasuk means. So the Gemara, but that's the din. A get makusha, the way they set it up, has to have a minimum of 3 witnesses on the back. And if it's a get kereach, if it's a bald, kereach is a bald person, if the get doesn't have enough signatures, it's bald on the back, means I gave a case where you fold, you wrote a little bit, you fold it over, you sewed it up, and then you have 1 witness on the back. So if you have only 3 times you fold it over, you sewed it down, then you have 3 witnesses on the back. That's fine. What if you have folded over 5 times or 10 times? So then you have to have, for every fold, you have to have 1 witness signed in the back. And if you don't, even if you have 9 witnesses, but if you have 10 folds, that's called a get kerech. You have to have at least 1 witness signed on the back every time you folded it over and you sewed it down. So if the husband divorces his wife with a get makusha, this funny get, They found in Eretz Yisrael, different places, they found old Gittin from the days of the Tanaim, Shtar Mekushin. They have an encyclopedia, Talmud did. They have a picture of what it looks like, I think, at Mekushin. So if the husband divorced his wife as such a get, and there weren't enough signatures on the back, so the whole thing is Pasul Midirabbanan. Now, third's not a problem, it's Pasul Midirabbanan. So you have the whole penalty. So the Gemara asks the same question. She's not. How is she mechuyev to know what the din is that such a get is possible? How is she supposed to know that it's not her fault? We should say that it's an esh shezins of betoyes. It's b'shoyge. Gemara says again, she should have showed the get to a competent rabbi, and she shouldn't have remarried before she shows it to someone who knows the din. Again, because in the days of the Tanaim, the get was not written under the supervision of a bezin. Today it's written under the supervision of a bezin. So the whole story would never happen. And you can't say it's her fault. Well, it was her fault. It was done under the supervision of Rabbanan. It's not her fault. Right? So again, so the Gemara started off on Amud Aleph, Tzadik Aleph Amud Aleph, that Rav says, I think we should pass like Rav Shimon in the Mishnah. The Gemara said, why don't they say Rav Shimon's name? It's Rav Shimon speaking. The Gemara said, Hasta Gut Kash. But that's what he says. He thinks we should pass like Rav Shimon, that if two witnesses came, it's not her fault. And it's an eshes ishes inza toys b'shoigeg, and she's materis lebaylam. So the Gemara says about the seven lines from the bottom of Tzadik Aleph and Beis. Rav Papa sovel mevud uvta b'mayhav lelemeva. Rav Papa thought on one occasion he had a case where two witnesses told the woman their husband died, and she went and she remarried, and then the husband came back alive. It turned out the whole testimony was a mistake. So he thought that din, he thought he's going to paskin like Rav, and Rav paskins like Rav Shimon in the Mishnah. That's an ish is in Sabo'inus. She doesn't have a din of Soit Asu Alabayla. Omle Rav Unabed Rav Shul Rav Papa, how can you paskin like that? But there's so many Mishnayas that indicate otherwise that you don't say it's not her fault. So he says, no. Valav Shinu Yishaninu, didn't we fire him for all the kashas? He said, every case it is her fault. She should have shown it to a business. She shouldn't have rushed so quickly. She should have waited a little bit. We forever all the cases. But in this case, if two Adam come, it's mom's not her fault at all. This case, she should be Mata. Amalei. So Rav Hunibay the Rishua responds to Rav Papa, you're going to rely on the terutzim that we gave on the Mishnais. We had around seven kashas over here, six, seven kashas. So many different Mishnais. It seems to indicate that we don't hold like Rav Shimon, all those kashas. So the Gemara says, "Vashinui elekim alismach." You're going to rely on the terutzim that you gave to split hairs to distinguish between all the cases in the Mishnayos that you do blame her; it's her fault, as opposed to the case where two witnesses came that you say it's not her fault. So we have the gifts in the Gemara. Uposak, Rav Papa was going to paskin lahokel, but then he abstained. He took it back. He said, "No." In other words, we should not paskin like the Mishnah. The Mishnah quotes Rav Shimon says, if two witnesses came and the woman remarried without any need for het bezin, then it's not her fault. And the Gemara says, we don't paskin like Rav Shimon. We paskin against the Mishnah. That's the Rosh points it out, and that's the Shulchan Aruch, that we don't paskin like the Mishnah. We say that the penalty even applies in that case. Okay?
By get the kusher, so each aid is signing on one line, only one line?
Yeah,
one eight on one line and
the
second eight on the second line.
Yeah.
They're not signing on the whole
line? Yeah. Very strange. I don't understand how it worked either. I don't know. So now the Gemara has a shaila. What if the woman heard that the husband died? And so she goes and she remarries. And then the rumor has it that the husband, a year or two later, is still alive. And he lives in Europe. He lives somewhere else. After the war was over, he moves back to Hungary. And she lives in America with her husband. So, Amravashi, three lines from the bottom. Amravashi, well, the kola loichashin, a kola means aid me p'aid. We don't have anybody here in New York who knows for a fact that the husband is alive. There are people in New York who say they heard from people from Amsterdam who said they heard from people, it's Eid Mi Pi Eid, a lot of times. Rumor has it that the husband is still alive. So that's Eid Mi Pi Eid. So Menatara Eid Mi Pi Eid, is not acceptable. Whenever you need two edim, and mamonis and nefashis, dovish should be ever, you need two edim, edim mipiedim is no good. Only if he was there in person. There's a chumrim in the rabbanon that you achoishish lekola. Let's say rumor has it. Let's say there's a single woman. She's looking for a shidduch. So rumor has it that the woman is an eshes ish, and she left her husband. What do you mean rumor has it? So the din is mid the rabbanon where machmer on kol, where machmer on eid mipiei. But you have to have two witnesses who come to Bezdin, and they're going to say, we heard from Pliny and Pliny, who live in London or live in wherever in France, that they heard from someone else that the husband is still alive. And you have to have Kabbalah Seydis Bifnei Baldin. Minatur, it's no good, even if you have the Kabbalah Seydis in the presence of the woman, and they say that she is an Eshes Ish, that her husband is, that she was married, the husband is still alive. Minatur, it's not valid because Eid Mipiei, but Mid Rabbanan made such a Chumrah. But the Chumrah only is if the Eidim are prepared to testify in the presence of the woman, Bifnei Bezdin. You have to have a Kabbalah Seydis. If they just leave it as a rumor, they say that they're embarrassed to say it in the presence of the woman. They're embarrassed to say it, so it's not there's no Eidis at all, even with the Rabban. If they say it in the presence of the woman, that they heard from Pliny, the husband is alive, that the woman is an Eshes Ish, that she's married, the husband is alive, then you aser with the Rabban. Also at the end of Gittin, about Chashina Lekolim and the Rabban. So Rav Ashi says, what if the woman remarried based on Eid Echad, and then the woman is married now for a year or two, and then the rumor comes and says the husband is still alive, he lives somewhere else. So Rav Ashi says, forget it. Forget about the kola. The kola loy chashina. So the Gemara says, hey kola, which kola are you talking about over here? Leima. If you're going to talk, if you should say, kola the boss and Yisu, and the woman remarried based on Eid Echad, and then rumor has it that the husband is still alive. So that's an old klal that we know from other Masichtas. Ha'amor Rav Ashi, Chodazim, the Rav Ashi said that already. Dom Rav Ashi, kol kolot bas nisun lo chashina lo. Whenever the call is yotze, if you have a single woman who's looking for shidduch, and then there's a caller that the woman is a gusha, she was once married before, and she denies it, and she's preparing herself to get married to a kohen, or the rumor has it that she is an eshes ish, she can't marry anybody. So if the Edom are prepared to stay in the presence of the woman, in Bezdin, the presence of the woman, they can't say we know for a fact, they don't know for a fact. They say we heard from Pliny of Pliny that the woman is a Grusha Asarul HaKoyin, the woman is an Eshes Ish. If they say that in the presence of the Bezdin, that's a Chumra Midirabbanon, Chashina Lekola. But if the woman is already married, and then they come and they say they're trying to get her divorced, so the Chumra Midirabbanon, the Eid Mipiyed, is reliable, Ahachmir, was never instituted in such a case. That's called Kola de Bosan Isuin. After she's already married, then the rumor comes. The Tap Tesis has two pshatim, what that means. Kola de Bosan Isuin. So the first they have a Yesh Meforshim, a Yud Mem, Yesh Meforshim, an incorrect pshat, and they reject it. Vaymari, the Ri says it's incorrect. So the first pshat that was incorrect was, if the woman is married now, the rumor has it that before she got married, she was already, she's married to a kohen, and now the rumor has it that she was a grusha from before the time that she got married. So the fact that a kohen married her now, he probably investigated it a little bit. So then, kol debos nisun loy chashinon, because it's probably not true, because the fellow would never have married her if he did a little investigation before he married her. But what if the kola starts now? Let's say the rumor has it that she was mezana during the marriage, and she's a soita asura baila. So then, according to the first patentosis, a kolad bas nisun would be chashina midirabon. So the Ri says that it's not correct. It's a befeimish gemara that whenever the woman is married, the whole chumra of kolad eid mipiei doesn't apply at all. The whole thing is a chumra, and they never instituted it to tell a woman that she has to get divorced. Only if she's not married yet. Then we're machmer for a kola, eid mipiei. Only that's Rav Soloveitchik always say. Only provided that the eidim are prepared to say it in front of Bezdin and in front of the woman. You have to have kabbalah to say this b'fnei baldin. So then you machmer for the eid mipiei. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi already said that. We know that din. Kola basan nisun lechashinan. So what is he telling us over here? Lechashinan lekola. The woman An Eid Echad came and said the husband is dead, and the woman remarries, And then rumor has it that the husband is still alive. But the rumor started after she got married. So what's the chiddush? We know that already. Call the bosom is still like Hashim. And with the more name, Ma'u the Tema, one might have thought incorrectly. In order to remarry, based on the Eidechot, she had to go to a Bezin, and the Bezin had a paskin that we're going to be lying on the Eidechot. It's a chiddush. Menator Eidechot is not believed. They allow the woman to remarry, but they warn her in advance, you better investigate to the best of your ability, because if it turns out that it's a mistake, you're going to be Asura, Teitzim Mizeh Mizeh, etc. So since the issue was brought up right before she remarried, is she allowed to remarry? Is the husband still alive or not? So one might have thought, Kikola the Kamini Sun Dami, Vititza, maybe if the rumor comes after she's married. But we were discussing before she got married, is the husband still alive? And we had to come up with how to kretch out a heta that the Bezin is going to believe the Erechot to permit her to remarry. So one might have thought I should treat this like a Kola de Kamini Sun. Kamash Mala, no, I treat it like a Kola de Bosin Isun. Kola de Bosin Isun, Loi Hashina. We'll make them. Okay, so that's the Allah. Kola de Bosin Isun, Loi Hashina. Then the Mishnah had a din. Again, we don't pass on like this Mishnah. There's a din in the Torah. There's a list of 36 averes for which you had chorus. The opening Mishnah increases. Lama ba krisis amur is batur. So the din is whoever violates an aver b'shogig, which if he would have done it, the mezer, he would have chayv kares. If he violates the aver b'shogig, he's chayv achatas. What's the din if the bez nagadol passes? He's allowed to eat certain food on Yom Kippur. He eat on Yom Kippur, there's an einish kares. They're allowed to eat certain kinds of chametz on Pesach. He eat chametz on Pesach, there's an isav kares. So he said, these kind of cookies are okay. Chelev, if you eat chelev, this curse. Dami, dam is curse. They say this kind of dam is mutter, this kind of chelev is mutter. And the Rav HaTzibur, 51% of the Jewish population in Eretz Israel, violates the aver because of the mistake of Saka the Bez Nagol. Instead of telling each and every individual person he has to bring a kizbo or sira, a chatas on his own, the Bez Nagol brings one chatas on the behalf of the whole tzibur. That's parhalam davashel tzibur. So that din, that called Yochid V'Yochid doesn't have to bring a chatos, that's a 51% of the tzibur violated aver. What if only 40% of the tzibur? So the Bez Nagadol is not going to bring a parhalan dover shel tzibur. So do you say that's called Yochid Shasa B'Hiroz Bez? Yochid doesn't mean necessarily Yochid, means less than 51%. 51% of the population, of the Jewish population in Eretz Yisrael, more so the Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz don't count. They're not part of the tzibur. Only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are considered the tzibur. The Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz are considered ki yechidim. But the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's v'nelam dava me'ni ha'kohol. That's the kohol. The klal Yisrael are those who live in Eretz Yisrael. So if less than 51% of the people violated this isa kores because of the mistake of Saka the Bez Nagol, so there's a machlekes ha'tanaim and harius, whether each and every individual person has to bring his own korban chatos, or no, since they were following the mistake from Saka the Bez Nagadol. It's Yochid Shosa Bahiraz Bezin. He was following the Psak of the Bezin. So it's not his fault, and he doesn't have to bring a chattas. So we paskin, he do bring a chattas. The Mishnah says that she doesn't have to. The Mishnah says if the Bezin allowed her to remarry based on Erechod, then she's not obligated, and then later on the husband comes back alive. So it comes out that she was an Eshes Isha Zinsa B'Shogeg. She was living with someone else other than her own husband. That's Eshes Isha and Issa Kares. And it's B'Shogeg. She thought the husband was not alive. So the Mishnah says, it's not the Bez Nagadol either. It's not the Bez Nagadol. It's a local Bezin. A local Rabbanim said she's allowed to remarry because of the Erechot. So still, you don't need Bez Nagadol. You don't need that the Bez Nagadol is Chayv HaParel and Dov Shel Tzibur. Whenever a person asked the Shadna, the Bezin said Mutter, and it turns out that it was a mistake, then the Yochid is potter from Achatos. So that's what it says in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, we don't pass on like the Mishnah. Oma Ze'iri, the fourth line from the top, Leisa Lemasnisen, we don't pass on like the Mishnah. So we don't pass on like the Mishnah. We don't pass on like the Mishnah because we pass on Yochid Shosah Bairoz Beznes Chayef. Only if Rav HaTzibur violated the Yisr and the Bez Nagadol, we're going to bring a parallel Nevashal Tzibur. But that's not the reason. That's also true. That's why we don't pass like the Mishnah. But the Gemara gives it another reason, a second reason why we don't pass like the Mishnah. Leisa lemasnisim, because we have a brisa that contradicts it. The brisa is talking about a totally different case, but he's making a tzushta. He says, Leisa lemasnisim, we don't pass like the Mishnah, meditoni bei midrasha, because in the base medrash we have a brisa. The Tani Bei Midrasha, somebody came up with a brisa in the base medrash that reads as follows. He's making a tzushta, a hashvoa between the cases. Hor Bes and Shushok HaChama. Let's say all the Jews are in Yerushalayim. All the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael. There's a Siyam HaShas, and everybody's in Yerushalayim. All the millions. And it's Shabbos. It's Shabbos. And the Bez Nagodol says, it's already Tzeis HaKachavim. Everybody could do Malacha. The chief rabbi says you can do Malacha, so everybody does Malacha. Then it was cloudy, and all the clouds disperse, and the sun is still shining. It's not shaykh today. Every other person has a watch, and every other person doesn't have a watch. There's a clock on the wall. Everybody, it says in the newspaper when the shkia is, when the tzeis hakochavim is. By us, it can never happen. You're talking in the days of the Tanoim. They didn't have watches, they didn't have clocks, and they made a mistake. So what's the din? It says in the brisa, Horu Bezen, the Bezen HaGadol made a mistake. Shoshok HaChamah, they paskin that it's shkia already. And it says Hakachavim and Shabbos, so we can do Malacha. Vila b'sof, and everybody does Malacha. If the Bez Nagadol says it's over, Shabbos is over, you can do Malacha. Vila b'sof zorcha, and then the sun shines. So that's not called Ahira. Ein zu Ahira ela tois. Ahira means you paskin a certain kind of cookie is mutter. There's no Issa Chometz on this cookie. You're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, but this kind of food you're allowed to eat. Or not allowed to eat chela, but this kind of chela we're allowed to eat. You made a mistake in halacha. Here's just a mistake in a fact. It's not a mistake in halacha. The Bez Nagadol didn't say you don't need tzeis hakochavim. They said it is tzeis hakochavim. It doesn't correspond to reality. They made a mistake in fact, so that's not called a psak. So that's what the Zeiri makes a sushto. He says, just like the Brisa says, ein zu hayroa elatois, it's not called a mistake in psak. So the Bez Nagadol will not have to bring a parlam davishal tzibur. If the majority of the Jewish population in Eretz Yisrael will do Malacha at the end of Shabbos based on the Psak of the Bez Nagadol, Bez Nagadol will not bring a Barhan Dov Shal Tzibur. And if you hold that a Yochad Shasa by Roz Bezdin's Potter, this is not called Ahira. This is just called a mistake. Ahira means a mistake in Psak. He thought that this kind of thing is Mutter. But here it's just a mistake in fact, not a mistake in Halacha. So he said the same is true over here. Bez Nagadol says, the husband is dead, you're allowed to remarry. They're not saying a woman is allowed to remarry even though the husband is alive. They say, no, the woman is only allowed to remarry if the husband is dead. We declare the husband is dead, and the husband comes back alive. So that's not called a psak. They didn't say anything incorrect. They made a mistake in Metzias. They guessed wrong. They thought the husband is dead, really alive. So that's what Ziri said, that's not called a psak. And the next one said, Rav Nachman disagrees, says, no. In the case, the brisa that says that Bezen said Shabbos is over, that's a mistake. But in our case, it is a psak. Rav Nachman Ami says, in our case, the Mishnah is right. Haruahi, here it's a psak. It's a shailan din. Is a dechad neman or not? So usually a dechad is not neman and the davar should be over. But here the Bezen paskin, they sized up the dechad. It's a milsa davar leglui metach shamach. The paskin that she has a right to rely on the erechot. That is a psak. It's a question in din. Is erechot believed over here? In the other case, no question in din. We know when it's tzeis hakochavim, Shabbos is over. We just don't know, is it tzeis hakochavim? So the Bez Nagadol declares that tzeis hakochavim, Shabbos is over. Turns out the facts are wrong. Here, Rav Nachman holds here, it's not a mistake in facts. Here it's a mistake in psak. They thought that the halacha should be over here. Eid echad should be believed. Amar Rav Nachman Teina, I'm going to prove to you, dohei rohi, that it is a psak. How does he know? The b'chol ha-terkula, eid echad lo mehemen. What do you mean, b'chol ha-terkula? Every dove should be ervo. Every case of dove should be ervo. You need two eidim. B'chocha, in this case, ha-neiz ba'la mehemen. Eid echad is believed. My timer, why is that? La mishim dohei rohi, because the bezden, not the Bezen HaGadol, the local rabbi, the Bezen Paskins, that Eid Echad is named over here. So that's Psak. She has the right to rely on Eid Echad. Eid Echad Al-Pidin has their manas over here. So she's considered a Yochid Shasa by Raz Bezen. that's considered Yochid Shos of Eros Bezen. And Rabbi disagrees. Rabbi holds like Ziri. Or my Rabbi Teda, I will prove to you that Rav Nachman is wrong. The Toisu, this is not called a Psach. So he's going to give a mashal. You need a little bit of an introduction to understand the mashal over here. The Gemara says, every so often, I think it's usually Rava. Rava will sometimes get up and make a public statement. Yesterday I gave a psak. I want everybody to know the psak was incorrect. I made a mistake. I made a mistake, and the psak is like this. So Rav Soloveitchik always used to mention about this. Look at the intellectual honesty of the Tanoim and Amroimek. A man gets up and he admits that he made a mistake. He could have fudged, he could have haremfed all the kasha that they had. But he's telling the honest truth. He said, I made a mistake in the psak. You shouldn't follow my psak. So intellectual honesty is if the person gave a psak and he backs out and he says, I made a mistake. What if he backs out the second time and he goes back to the first psak? So the Rashba has a Yerushalmi. That's not called intellectual honesty. That's called irresponsibility. He changed his mind the second time. The Gemara says it based on a pasuk in Navi. If a person gave a psak and then he realizes they bring to his attention made a mistake, he's going to stand on his head to investigate, to research the matter, before he's going to get up and humiliate himself in public to admit that he made a mistake. So then, if he made a mistake the second time also, so that's it. Just shows that he's irresponsible. That doesn't show intellectual honesty. So that's what the Gemara says. Amach shel azaz tachas yadecha. Where's that pasuk? I forgot. In Shaya, I think. Amach shel azaz tachas yadecha. The Gemara has a lashon. Ein adam oimer advar alocha tamachachem will really be mevarad alocha very well if nichshal batchila. If he made a mistake in psak, then before he's going to reverse his psak in public to humiliate himself, he's going to investigate. So that's what the Gemara. That's Rabbi's mashal. So Rav says, Teda, I'm going to prove to you the Toisu that this is not called the Psak. Why? Bezin made a mistake and gave a Psak and Chelev Adam lehetera. They made some kind of mistake. They thought a certain kind of Chelev is Mutter, a certain kind of Dam is Mutter. Then they back out and they announce, we made a mistake. Intellectual answer, made a mistake and it's really awesome. And then they back out a second time. And they go back to the original shita, that is mutter. So the people will not listen to them the second time. They just see that this business is irresponsible. Yehadri, when they back out, v'yami lehatera, they revert back to the original psak, lo imash gechinalu. The public will not listen to them because they see that the business is just irresponsible. However, v'ilu hechados eirechod, what if eirechod comes and says, meis bailo? So the woman remarries, v'osu trei Asarna, and two witnesses come and they say, we know for a fact the husband is still alive. We just saw him last week. He's still alive. So the Bezna has to reverse the Psak. And now, a year later, Kihoda Osa Eid Achrina, if another aid comes now and says, the husband just died now. He said the same as the first one, that the husband died then. If the Eid Echid comes today, says, I know the same as the first aid. He died in the war, or whatever, that it's trade. Then it's two Adam say he's dead, two Adam say he's not dead. So you're not mad to the woman. No, Rashi says, if an Edecha comes today and he says the husband just died last week, so then we will listen to the Bezim when they reverse the Psak. They'll say she's allowed to remarry now. First, an Edecha came and said that the husband is dead. So that's the din Edecha is them, and you allow the woman to remarry. Then two Adam come and say the husband is alive. So, you have to believe the two. But then another Eidecha comes later, he says, the husband died after everything. Husband just died last week. So then, we will accept him. So he says, that shows, he says, if it would have been a Hira, a Psak, and the Bezin realizes that they made a mistake when they relied on the first Eidecha, so how can they paskin based on the second Eidecha that he just died last week? Just like they made a mistake the first time, maybe they make a mistake a second time. We don't say like that. So he said, that shows that it's not a psak over here. It's a toys. Just like the case when the Bezin says it. Shabbos is over because the Seisach Kram just doesn't correspond to reality. That's not a hayroah. There, everyone agrees that there's no din of parah on the avos shel tzibur, and that's not called yachid shasa by Raz Bez. It's not called hayroah. It's just a mistake. So the same over here. This case is also called etin erechet. Says meis bailah. This is, and it turns out the husband is alive. That's not called hayroah. That's a mistake. The Bezin said in effect that the husband is dead. And the husband is really alive. It's not the hayroah.
There's no steer to the second erechet. The second erechet comes after the first two.
Right. But when the same Bezin relied on the first eight Echad, they realized later they made a mistake.
Because
the two Edim say the reverse. So how can they? It means that they missed, they should have judged the first eight Echad. They should have realized that he's not reliable. So how can they paskin now on the second eight Echad?
They didn't have the two Edim. They didn't have, they relied because there were no two Edim at that
they
time.
They should have been able to look him in the face and figure out that he's not reliable. The Bezin also has to be able to judge. To have to look in his face and be able to judge, see his body language, to try to judge, is he telling the truth or telling a bovim, is he telling a lie? So they misjudge. So how can they rely on themselves that they're not misjudging the second time? So the Gemara says, if the first time would have been a hayroah, they're paskening, so then they wouldn't give a hayroah the second time. So they see it's not a hayroah. See it's not a hayroah. So that's a machlekes. Anyway, we pasken anyway, not like the Mishnah. We pass on not that like Mishnah because we hold in Hyrius that there is no such thing. Yochid Shasa by Roz Beznes Potter. The Yechidim who ate the Chelev Adam, who are all Mechal Shabbos, they don't bring a Chatos. That's only if 51% of the Tziba violated the Avera, and the Bezna Gadol is going to bring a Chatos. But if the Bezna Gadol is not bringing the Parah and Rosh of Tzibur, then Kol Yochid V'Yochid, even if there are thousands and thousands of people, each one does bring a Korban. Here is all for sure. Here there's no Bezna Gadol about, there's no Paran Dovash Ativa. There's one woman. There's one woman, we don't know if she's an Almana or she's still married. So the local rabbi in the community made a mistake. Here there's no Paran Dovash Ativa. So the whole din that Yechidim HaPotah from Chatas doesn't apply here anyway. We Paskan anyway, not like the Mishnah. But these two Amaraim, Ziri and Robert there, and Rab Nachman, they're working on the assumption that you hold Yochid Shasav Eros Bezna HaPotah. When they have a Machlekes, is this called the Hayroa? Interesting. Is this called the Hayroah? Shai.
If the second eight echad comes and he justifies, like the first eight echad, his testimony before, is that Eidus Miyuchedus?
It is Eidus Miyuchedus. There's a din of din in the fashas, that in din in the fashas, the Eidim have to testify turke the deeper of each other. So how can you do Drisha B'chakira if the second aid is going to be there when the first aid is testifying? He's going to say word for word the same as the first aid. So the Mishnah tells you how you do it. The Mishnah says, first you interrogate the first aid, not in the presence of the second aid, and you ask him all the questions from A to Z. Then you interrogate the second aid, not in the presence of the first aid. Neither should hear what the other guy said. If Ninsu Devrem B'chuvanim, if they both shtim, they both said the same story, so then you have a whole din Torah to discuss, is Yichai Misa or not? That you don't give the death penalty until you have the two witnesses testify all over again. So then the second time, when that's called the Kabbalah Seder. The first time wasn't really a good Kabbalah Seder because it was Eshalo B'fnei Zeh. Kabbalah Seder by Nefoshes has to be Davke, Turke, Dibur of each other. By Mominus and by Davshe B'Yevah, there's no such requirement. It doesn't have to be Turke, Dibur of each other. By Nefoshes is a din. Eidus Mecheres is not, there are different kinds of Eidus Mecheres. One Eidus Mecheres is that Eidim didn't testify Turkid and Dibra of each other. By Nefoshes, it's no good. Then there's another Eidus Mecheres. Let's say two witnesses were hanging out the window, two different windows, two different apartment buildings. They were watching a murder. They both saw the same murder at the same time of the day. Everything corresponds, but they didn't see each other. So that's also called Eidus Mecheres. And being in the Fashas, that's no good, because the Pasuk says, Eidechud is no good. So the Gemara says, why is the Pasuk repeating itself so many times? Lo yokem eidechud, eidechud is no good. Lo yumas al pi eidechud is no good. It says, al pi shnayim, al pi shlosh, eidim, yumas al meis. So how many times do you have to say Eidechud is not going to work? So Eidechud means Echad Echad. You have two Eidim, but they're individual Eidim. They didn't see together, or they did see together, but they didn't testify Tech the Dibra of each other. So that's only a din and din in the Fashas. It doesn't apply even in Mominus and Tovah Shabbi Erva. It says in Shulchan Aruch that Leil Shabbos and Shul, when you say Baichulu, it's considered like a Haggadah Seder. And you need two kosher Eidim, so everybody should say Baichulu together. And if one person says Longer Shman Esrei, and everybody finished saying Baichulu already, so he shouldn't, he should get someone to say along with him later on. So the Magen Avraham asked the Kasha, tell me Adin and Eidis Nefashis. It doesn't apply in other cases. Well, how do they apply it over here to Baichulu? When you go home and say Baichulu in Kiddush at home, also you're saying with someone else, you're saying by yourself. Everybody says Kiddush by themselves. So the Magen Avraham says, despite the fact that it's only a din and din nefashis, there's a chumrah here. The Vilna Gaon writes, I am Magen Avraham. And the Vilna Gaon usually gives Mar Mekaymus for all the din. Whenever he writes ayin, it means he doesn't agree with the din in Shulchan Aruch. That's always the klal and the bir agro. When he says, every so often he writes, ayin zohar. Ayin zohar means that the zohar disagrees with the din. Ayin taisa means taisa disagrees with the din. Here he writes, ayin magen avram. It's a difficult din, it doesn't make sense.
So what? If they didn't have ayin tosa, they dibur. So if they can't say it over again because it'll be too shaken, can they say it?
It wasn't Kim Shiga. They never gave Kim Shiga Shuman Chazam Magen means to back out from what you said the first time. We sometimes have it in. Let's say the Edom testified the first time for some reason or another we don't accept it. So now they're going to say the same thing the second time. So that's a discussion in the Chosha Mishpat. Maybe we should be concerned. Ovid Inish Lachzuke Dibure. It's in his interest. He's going to say over the same that he said the first time, even if it's not true. He doesn't want people to think that he's a liar. So that's a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach and the Chosha Mishpat. Maybe you have no right to accept such testimony. He's saying over what he said the first time wasn't accepted. He's going to say the same thing the second time as he said the first time. But over here we tell him in advance, this is the way it has to go. We have to interrogate each one separately because otherwise it won't be a Drisha V'chakira if they're going to testify within in the presence of each other, talk the deeper of each other. So first they do the Drisha V'chakira. And then later, if we see that there's a case and there's room to be mechayiv him and misa, then we tell the Edom, you have to testify all over again. So we tell him like that. So then it's not a problem.
When the second Edom comes and he says that after all this happened, he died, I really shouldn't have to have that exclusion. At any time an Edom comes, even he says about another woman, this bastard should be considered as not competent to rule.
Right.
It doesn't really make a difference that he said it on that woman, any woman.
Right. Exactly. If it would have been a psak, so you see that they're not behavent, they're not reliable in this area of halacha. They don't know how to judge whether people are telling the truth or not. There's some tzaddikim had a practice that there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Kishiyu Baladin Ma'am Dilafanecha Yevanecha Kevrishoyim. If you have a din Torah between Reuven and Shimon, you should consider both of them as if they're Rishoyim. So there's a Mishnah, there's a din in the Gemara that says, Asir Vastakel Befnei Adam Rasha. You're not allowed to look in the face of an Adam Rasha. So some tzaddikim had a practice, when they had a din Torah, they would wear a talus over their head. They wouldn't look at either Baldin, because Asir Vastakel Befnei Adam Rasha, Kishiyu Baladin Ma'am Dilafanecha Yevanecha Kevrishoyim. So the Pashtus says that that's an improper. They describe this as Amidus Chasidus, a different tzaddikim, Ashkenazim, is right. Pashtus says that it's an improper Amidus Chasidus. Because part of the judging of the Bezin is you have to stare the guy in the face and try to read the body language to try to figure out, is he telling a lie, is he telling the truth? See, you're not supposed to close your eyes. You have to look at him. You have to look at him to see, you have to judge. Part of the Torah is to judge. Does he sound like he's telling the truth? Or does it look like he's telling a lie? Shai? Okay. Then the Gemara just repeats the same thing. Okay, then I have to go through. Then the Gemara comments on the Mishnah. The Mishnah has, the woman was married, then Eid Echot comes and he says that the husband is dead. So he tiru lehi nase. So the woman remarries. And then it comes out that the husband was alive. So the Mishnah says that she doesn't have to bring a chatos because it's Yochel Shasa by Ros Bezin is not chayv to bring a chatos. We don't pass like the Mishnah. We pass Yochel Shasa by Ros Bezin is chayv. So the whole Gemara here, the next Gemara is not la halacha. The whole thing is on the assumption that the din would have been like the Mishnah, which it isn't. We don't pass like the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, if the Bezna allows the woman to remarry, and then, holcha v'kilkalo, the Bezna says, we assume that your husband is dead, you're allowed to remarry. But let's say, she marries a Kohen Gadol. An almana is not allowed to marry Kohen Gadol. So that they never told us she's allowed to marry Kohen Gadol. Or let's say she was a grusha from the first marriage, and now she just became an almana because the Erechet says the second husband died. And now she goes and she marries a Kohen. She was a grusha from the first husband, so she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. So holcha b'kilkala, she takes the psaka, the bezin assumes that the second husband is dead, and she goes ahead and she marries b'isser. So you can't consider that Yachad Shasa by Ros Bezin. Bezin never allowed her to marry a grusha le'kain hedyot or an almana le'kain gadol. So in such a case, she would be chay v'chatas. It's not called, she can't say she did based on the psaka of the Bezin. The Bezin didn't allow her to marry b'isa. She marries a mamzer, and she's not a mamzer. So that's not what they were matter her to do. So the Mishnah has that. Holcha b'kilkalo. She went and she remarried a marriage that's prohibited, so that's not considered Yachad Shavros Bezin, and then it turns out the husband is alive. So not only did she violate Grusha L'Koyin Amon L'Kan Gol, she violated Eshizish. Eshizish has Kores. So since it's B'shogeg, so she has to bring a Chatas. So that's a Machlekes and Nigmara. How do you translate Holcha V'Kilkalo? If Harua Bezin and Lehinase, and then she lives with some of the Isser, what exactly did she do the Isser? So that's a machlekes Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Yechanan's Talmud, Rabbi Lozer. Lozer was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. My kilkala, how do you translate the words? She married the Issa. So Rabbi Lozer says, Zinsa. She had an affair with someone. She thought she's single, the husband is dead. And she goes, she's mezana with someone. The Bezin said she's allowed to remarry. She's not an Eshizish anymore. So she holcha v'zinsa, and then turns out the husband is alive. Rabbi Yechanan says wrong. Zinsa is not enough. Only Amon Lekan Gorel Gumshu Mechalutza Lekan Hedya. Only if she married B'Yisr. But Holcha V'Zinsa, that's not called the Holcha V'Kilkala. So the Gemara says, Ma'di Amma Zinsa, the first one, Rabbi Loza, the Talmud Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Loza says, Zinsa, Kolshken Amon Lekan Gorel, for sure that's called Kilkala. But according to Rabbi Yechanan, Ma'di Amma Amon Lekan Gorel, Awa Zinsa Loi, that's not called Holcha V'Kilkala. Because in effect, the Bezin said she's allowed to remarry, means that she's not an Eshizish anymore. So Znus will no longer, it'll be an Aveir of Znus, but it won't be an Aveir of Eshizish. So that's, so the according to Rabbi Yechanan, if Holcha V'Zinsa, she will not be Chayiv, Holcha V'Zinsa, she will not be Chayiv Achatas over there. That's considered Yachad Shasa Bahiroz Bezin. Again, the whole Machloik is irrelevant, because we don't pass like the Mishnah. We pass and Yachad Shasa Bahiroz Bezin is Chayiv. Chatas. The only time you put is if 51% of the tzibur violated the Isser, and then Bez Nagarot's bringing a parah on Bav Shal Tzibur. 51% of the tzibur didn't violate Ishish in this case. Yeah, how do we paskin? So usually the klal is Ein Alocha Ketalmid Bin Makam Arav. In the earlier generations, until the days of Abai Verove, usually the din was like the Rebbe, not like the Talmud. So Rabbi Lozer, usually, when there's Machlag Zabiechan and Rabbi Lozer, there's Talmud, usually the din is like Rabbi Yechan and the Rebbe, not like Rabbi Lozer. And here it's Tanya Kavasa the Rabbi Yechan, so for sure the din should be like Rabbi Yechan. So that's a problem over here. They tell you they have the letter Hey on Rabbi Lozer, that the Raman Paschal is like Rabbi Lozer. Yeah. What do you mean Paschal? Of course he passed like Rabbi Lozer. We don't pass like either. We don't pass like anybody, because the whole thing is Shalaika Halacha. We pass Yachad Shasa by Raz Bezin and Schayiv Chatas. So the letter Hey is true. Holcha V'Zinsa is Schayiv Chatas, but it's not because we pass like Rabbi Lozer, because the whole issue is irrelevant. We don't pass on the whole premise. We say Yachad Shasa by Raz Bezin and Schayiv Chatas. So the whole Machlokes is irrelevant. Not a Chiyuv Koris, right? No, then it comes out the husband is alive. So we say that was clearly not included in the psak of the Bezin. The Bezin said, we assume, you have the right to assume your husband is not alive and you have a right to remarry. But it's clear that Bez never gave her the right to remarry a Grusha Lekoyen and a Alman Lekoyen Gadol. So that she's not, she can't say she's relying on the Bezin, on the Bezin Psak, that she's going to marry a Grusha Lekoyen Alman Lekoyen Gadol. But if she's Mizana, she says, the Bezin told me I'm not married, so I didn't do any. She did a different Avera, Znus, a different Avera, but she didn't do any Avera in the marriage. Masheni can over here by Grusha Lekoyen Gadol, Grusha Lekoyen Alman Lekoyen Gadol. That's an Isser in the marriage. Yeah, so again, the whole Machlag is irrelevant. That's why they have the Tzion on the Rambam. Because even Zinsa, we would say that there is a Chi of Chattas.
If a woman comes to a Besen to ask for, if she wants to get married, do they rely on her when they ask her, what was your life like? Did you ever marry a Kohen? Or did they make a Chakira about it? Or they just take her word for it?
It's not relevant. So let's say when a woman gets divorced, so how does a woman prove that she was divorced? In the days of the Gemara, the woman would hold on to the get. And then the get was used as a shtar kinyan to create the gerushin, and then she continues to hold on, she puts it in a file to keep holding on to the get. That's the shtar raya. That proves that she already got divorced. Today, the minig is already many centuries. She don't let the woman hold on to the get. Because there's a cherem der rabbeinatam shelo lahotzi laza lagitin. So if the woman's going to hold on to the get, she's going to show it to someone. So some tanis cholam is going to come by and say, they didn't spell the name right, they spelled the name of the river wrong, the name of the city wrong. Someone's going to check for the get and come up with a psul. So there's a cherem der rabbeinatam. After they finish doing a get, the mesara haget always announces. There's a chem der rabbeinatam shelo lahotzi laza lagitin, so no one's allowed to, you have any issues to raise it now before you give the get. And after they give the get, they're not allowed to open your mouth. So to make sure that no one will have a chance to check on the get, so the rabbi who is Masada the get takes it back and he puts it in his file and he gives the woman a ptur, gives the woman a document, usually written in Hebrew. I remember once a woman came to my father, she wanted to remarry, and she got divorced in France, and the ptur was typed in French. So my mother was born in Montreal. And my mother told my father what it said in the ptur. My father didn't know how to read French. So to make a ptur in English. The meaning always is, you make a ptur in Hebrew, everybody writes they're here, they made the ptur in French. So the ptur, you're right, the woman was duly divorced in our presence, everything was done properly. She's allowed to marry anybody she wants, except for a kohen. That's what you put in the ptur, except for a kohen. And if the woman had to get divorced, if the woman had an affair, so you write in the get, she's allowed to marry anybody she wants, except for a kohen. And except the man with whom she had the affair. There was a maisa years ago. One of the Talmidim, Rav Moshe Feinstein, had to get divorced because his wife had an affair. And the Talmud, he already passed away now. This was over 40 years ago. And the Talmud was starting to become world famous. Now it's very, if I would say the name, everybody in the room would know who it is. So Rav Moshe was afraid he was going to write in the tour, she's allowed to marry anybody except for Kohen, except for the man that she had the affair with. It's going to shock the children in Shiduchim. So Rav Moshe used to do the gittin in his home a lot of times. So he took the girl into his bedroom and he made her swear to him. She had an affair with her dentist. So he made her swear to him that she's not going to marry the dentist. She said she has no interest in marrying the dentist. So he left it out because he was afraid this guy's going to be world famous, which he was during his lifetime. He's very famous. And is going to make trouble for the children when it comes to Shidduch. So they all did good Shidduch. Yeah. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa like that. The Braisa supports, if the din would be that Yochad Shasa by Roz Bezin is pot, which the din is not, so the Braisa supports Rabbi Yechanan, that it's only if it's Almana lekain gadol and grusha v'chalutza lekain hayit. Fine. So then he quoted Brisa. Then in such a case, let's say just start from the first white line on the almond. What's the din? An eshes ish was zinsa b'shegeg with someone else. And many times, she thought her husband was not alive or something. She thought it was her husband. and she was mezana many times. So how many karbonas chatos does she have to bring? So the Brisa writes, Chayevis bikorban al kol bia ubia divei Rabbi Loza. This is a Tana, this is not an Amor. Before it was Rabbi Loza the Amora, the Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. Now it's a Tana, this is a Brisa. So the Tana Rabbi Loza disagrees with Chachamim, korban echor al kol. Rashi explains over here, what's the din? If you eat chayla b'shoigeg, you have to, if you eat chayla b'mezid, you chayv chorus. If you eat chayla b'shoigeg, you chayv chatas. What if you ate, how much chayla do you have to eat? A kazayis. Chatzi shir is a machloikas, and the Gemara with us, an isa deraisa, isa derabonon, but even if it's a mipaskan, chatzi shir is an isa deraisa, but there's no chorus on a chatzi shir. So you only chayv chatas b'shoigeg if you ate a kazayis of chayla. What if you ate two kazayisim of chayla? He ate a whole, he ate in a kosher restaurant and he eats the whole steak with all the fat. And then the waiter runs in and he said, Gevald, I made a mistake. We forgot to cut the chaylev off. And you ate three kazais mat chaylev. But he ate everything behelem echad. He didn't find out in between the first kazais and the second kazais. I mean, seen the second and the third. All the three kazais chaylev he ate behelem echad. So Rashi says right before the Mishnah, Havileko echel shnei zais chaylev behelem echad. It was all one halama. He was eating in one session. He was eating in one meal. He ate chaylev. He ate many kazaisim. So it's considered as if he only did one achila. If he ate one kazais and then he finds out that it was chaylev, and then he continues, he forgets, and then he continues to eat. If it's bishnei halamas, then you chayev shtei chatos. But the halam echad, so we pass him only chayev one chatas on all the chaylev. So the same is true. The woman had many. She was living with a man. She thought it was a husband or whatever. She thought her husband was not alive. And then she says she's inza b'shege. So how many chatos does she have to bring? So the chachamim say korban echad al hakol. Even though she did a ma'ase znus, so they say she's inza many times over, 10 times over. She only had one chatos, like oichal kama zeisichel. And Reb Loza, the Tana disagrees. Loza disagrees. This is a whole shaila in the Gemara. If you remember, the first daf in Bava Kama, the Gemara says, is there a difference between an Ab Malacha and a Tolda on Shabbos? An Ab Malacha Yechayiv Misa and a Tolda Yechayiv Misa. There are Lamates of his Malachas, and each category has many Toldas. Yerushalmi says that on one occasion, Rabbi Yechem Shlokish were learning together, and they were working out Lamates Toldas for each one of the Lamates of his. Shtik. Okay. There are more than 39 Toldas. You can have many, many different examples of Toldas for each one of the malachas. So you have a lot of toldas. So the Gemara says, is there any difference between obis malachas on Shabbos and the toldas on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, lachar, it's all the same thing. If you do an av, you chayv mis. If you do a told, you chayv mis. If you do an av, you show you chayv chatas here, you chayv chatas. What if you do av a told the day? You did behel mechod. Let's say the person is machal Shabbos. He knows today is Shabbos. If he didn't realize today is Shabbos, his watch stopped, and he thought it's still Erev Shabbos, and he did kaisev, and he turned on the light, turned off the light. He did 25 malachas. So then, there's chiluk malachas l'Shabbos. If he did many malachas b'alamechad, it's chayv many chatos. What if he repeated the same malacha over and over and over again? So we paskin, if you did the av many times, or the av and the told of the same av many times, you only chayv one chatos. If you did many different malachas, then chiluk malachas l'Shabbos, then you chayv many chatos. And this Tana Reb Lazar is of the opinion, if you did av it told the day behel mechod, you chayv two chatos. So the Gemara increases his mesupik. Why is that? What exactly is he disagreeing about? So the Gemara says, is it because the fact that this is an av means that this was in the Mishkan, and the Tolda is a different suras hamaisa? It wasn't in the Mishkan. That's why we call it a Tolda, because it wasn't involved in Asiyas HaMishkan. So just like this Chiluk Malachas, if you did all the 39 Malachas, Bela Mechod, Chayv 39 Chatoa, so Reb Lezer is of the opinion, if you did Av told in the day, it's also Mechalik. But if you repeat the Av many times over, there's no Mechalik. It's the same thing. If you do the Tolda many times over, you're not, no Chiluk. If you do Av told in the day, it's a different Surah HaMalachas. That's why this is an Av, and that's a Tolda. Is that why Reb Lezer says Chayv Shtayim? Abba told it today, what would he say? Kotza bekotza, my Omer of Loza. What if he does Ktsira many times over? He's harvesting the whole field. His watch stopped and he thought that it's still Erev Shabbos, and he's harvesting the whole field. And every little bit that he harvested is another Malacha, another Malacha. So the Gemara has a question, and the Gemara finally quotes this brisa. It says Beferish. Rab Loza holds Yechayva called Biyo Biyo. If the woman is an Eshes, she's in, she's repeating the same Avera many times with the same person. She thought it was a husband, turns out that it's not a husband. So she chayv achatas on every Biyo, even though it's a repeat of this exact same Avera. Bishoigik, so Rab Loza disagrees not only Ad told the day, because it's a different Surah Samblach, even Kotzar the Kotzar. He repeats the same halacha many times. Rav Loza's opinion is that Yechayev, two chatos, and he probably would disagree. Oichol shnei zeisachele behele mechod. We assume, not like Rav Loza, we have oichol shnei zeisachele behele mechod, you want to chayev one chatos. Rav Loza disagrees with that also.
Again, you have to rely on her, on how many years she did.
Okay, that's her private thing, of bringing a chatos to the Beis HaMikdash.
Could be a korban, which is not allowed to bring.
Yeah, the din is if you're being chatos and not bo ben edim nedov, you can't volunteer a chatos. If you're not mechuyev, you can't bring it.
Right.
So the shaila is whenever a person says, he says, I did an aver b'shoigeg. Which aver? He said he spoke lashon hara b'shoigeg. So that's not koris. So he says he cheated in business b'shoigeg. That's not koris. He says he's mechal shabbos b'shoigeg. So we have that he did a kishir. He ate chel b'shoigeg. He did a kishir. So you're always relying on the person. Even though the person is not telling the truth, the person himself or herself is not a kohen. So they can't be makrib the karbonis. So they're bagloik to tell a kohen, please makrib the chatas on my behalf. Even though the kohen may be doing an avera of being makrib the chulam bazara. Still, that the Torah says that he's the bal avera's belief to say, I did avera b'shoigeg and please bring the chatas on my behalf. The Shita Mekubes, the beginning above Metzia, points that out. That you do trust the person. That you trust the person when they say how many chatos, that they're chayv chatos. Maybe it's not true.
And then,
right, Tosfos says that kasha. How can a person be believed? So they say, they know the Ben Atzmo Le Atzmo, he is Neman. Yeah, that's a good kasha, right? You both asked the same kasha at the same time. So it's such a good kasha, Taisus asked that kasha. Beginning of Bob Matzia. So that Eon HaMeis Matzma Rosha means the Bezna has no right to believe him when he says he did an Avera. But here, Bezna doesn't have to believe him. He says, I did an Avera. So if he would come to the Beis HaMikdash and be makar with the korban on his own, he says, I did an Avera, I'm doing the right thing. It happens that he or she is Nishkin Koyin. So they have to... But really, they have the manus on themselves. The Bezin is not supposed to believe them. But the Torah says the Kohen should be makar with the carbon based on what they say. The person says, I'm...
He wants a kapara. That's why you have to believe it.
That's what they says. He says he needs a kapara. So the Torah says you gotta believe him. So we would believe him if he's a Kohen and want to be makar with carbon, good. But here the Torah even says we believe him, we're makar with the carbon. He is Nishkan Kohen. So we have to believe him because he says he wants a kapar. That's exactly what Taisa says.
It's not a Russia anyway. Why? How is this even a question?
That's an interesting question on the Taisus. Why? He said he didn't have there b'shegik. So why is that Eid on the Reis Matzmash? That's a good question. But Taisa asks that question. Taisa asks and Taisa gives that answer. The fellow says he needs a kapar. So the Torah said the Shittim Beth Adzan. The Torah says we have to believe him in order to be able to give him the kapar.
Yeah. According to the Rabbanan, if she was bishogeg because she thought that bia is not also with somebody else, and she had bia with three or four different men.
Oh, that's the next Gemara. The Gemara says the last line before the Mishnah. Boidem Chacham the Rab Lozer, even though the Chacham would disagree with Rab Lozer, that if she had many bias with the same person, all behele mechod. She only brings one chatas. Rav Loza says, Chayva kol biya, biya. And the Chacham say, no, everything behele mechod, but they admit to Rav Loza, in this is l'chamisha miryadim, she's mezane with five different people. Then I say, gufa mechlokin. Then I say, what does it mean? So posh pshat is like this. From the perspective of the five men are Jewish. And the five men are also chayv chatas, because they're bo'al eish yisish b'shoigeh. So since from the perspective of the five men, all five are chayv chatos, so therefore from the perspective of the woman, I also consider it five different averes. But let's say, gufa machlokin in a different case. This is a shayla, the Rambam, there's a machlok, let's say a person worships avodah zara. So there's one Getchka, another Getchka, let's say Behemoth. He bowed down. He believes all of the above are all deities. He bows down to a shor, a chamor, a seh, a gomel, an elephant, a lion, a tiger, a shay. Bows down. He believes they all have powers of a deity. So is that called Guf Mechlokin? Guf Mechlokin, Poshib Shat in the Gemara is, if the other five people are Jewish, and they did the Aver B'Shoigeg, so from their perspective, there are five different Averis. Each one is Chai V'Chata. So even, it takes two to tango. So from her perspective, it's also five Averis. Even though it's Behelem Echad, but since it's Guf Mechlokin, on the other side, the men are Chai V'Five Chata, so she's Chai V'Five. But if, let's say, the person worships Aver, is there a different Behemoth? There is no counterpart. The Behemoths are not Chai Benichata. So the Rambam says it's only Guf Mechlokin by people, not by Behemoths. That's the Pashtus and the Rambam. And then the Mishlamel quotes that the Tosis Rid disagrees with the Rambam. Tosis Rid holds that even by five Behemoths, it's also called Guf Mechlokin. A different Machlokin is how you understand Guf Mechlokin. The Rambam understands Guf Mechlokin means that from the perspective of the, you need two people to do Gili Arayis. So with the perspective of the men, if it's five Averis, you need five Chatos. So from her perspective, it's also five.
So how could it be Nisas? She was married, and then she got divorced, and married, and divorced?
Yeah. Or the Gemara says, Balosh and Nikia. I would say she was Mizana with five different people. Mizana with five different people. Mishoigik. Okay. Yeah. The next Mishnah is going to discuss a serious topic that unfortunately comes up in America. It comes up very often in Europe. It rarely came up. What's the din? A woman is married and the husband dies, leaves no children, so she needs chalitza. She never heard of chalitza. So the husband is alive, so she goes and she remarries. So are the children mamzerim? Is kiddushin tofes b'yivam alashuk? If someone is Mekadesh Yivam Alashuk, Ein Kiddushin Tovsin Be'eshes Ish. So, if a man dies and he leaves children, so there's no Ishes left, so the wife is allowed to remarry. If the man dies, he leaves no children, so there is a little Ishes left. She's considered, we call Zika. The relationship between the Yavama and the Yavam, her brother, her former brother-in-law, is considered a form of Ishes. So just like Ein Kiddushin Tovsin Be'eshes Ish, and the blood is a mamza, maybe over here also I should say, Enki Dushin Tovsin, the Eishas Ish, that the Ivama Lashuk is like an Eishas Ish. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel, on the top of Amadeus. So that's very relevant lahaloch. That's very relevant lahaloch. Yeah. We paskan like Shmuel. Here you see the top line. Omar Rab, Minayin, how do you know from the Chumash the following din? We don't paskan like Rab here. Usually when there's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, if it's a nisa beheter, we paskin like Rabbi, and it's a din imam, is usually, this is an exception to the rule. This is nisa beheter, and we paskin like Shmuel, because the Gemara says so. The Gemara says, we paskin like Shmuel. So Rab says, en kiddushin tovsin b'yivam alashuk. Even though there's no karis, so it's not the same as the arayis, he says, en kiddushin tovsin. Why? Because the pasuk says, when the husband dies and he leaves no children, she needs chalitza. Yidma lasi eshes hameis achutza liyishza yivama yavalev yidma. So the poshup shat lasi eshes hameis is alive. She's not allowed to live with anybody else. She's supposed to have either yidma or chalitza. So it clearly refers to alive. But Shmuel says, in addition to implying aloi sese, she's not allowed to live with anybody else before she has chalitza, it's also a statement of fact. Leti eshes hameis achutza letaheba havaya. Havai means tvisas kiddushas. Kiddushin, like it says, kisihiena liish te nashim. Achas ahuva v'achas nua. Kisihiena liish means a man is married to two women. So here it says, v'si eshes hameis achutza. The almana is unable to get married. She's not permitted to marry someone else before she has chalitza, and she's unable to have tvisas kiddushin with anybody else. V'si eshes hameis achutza liish zar. She's unable to have havaya, to have tvisas kiddushin. That's how Rab interprets the Pasuk, that the Pasuk has two levels of interpretation, and both are true. It's a love, she's not allowed to marry someone else, and Tfisidush not chal. And Shmuel says, Ba'ani Useinu, means, Lefi Ani is Daitenu, he's not so convinced that Rab is right. He's not sure, he's a Sofik Tzvicha Get. She needs a Get Me Sofik. Why? Mesafka Leila Shmuel. Shmuel is Mesupik, Hi, this pasuk that Rav quoted, namely, Asiya Shemes Achutza, does it only go to Lavu Diyasa? Does it only mean she's not allowed to marry a stranger before having Chalitza? Or does it also mean an additional level of interpretation like Rav claims, Latehei Bahavaya, Latafsi Bakidushin? Do you say the pasuk has both levels of interpretation? Well, no, it only means Aloy Sesi. So that's relevant by us a lot of times. Let's say a woman is married, the husband dies, he has no children, she never heard of Chalitza, very common, she goes and she remarries. And then when someone notifies her, he's supposed to do Chalitza, can the Yavam come now and do Chalitza? He's already married to the second husband. He says, the Yavam says, Lo chafatzti lekachta. What do you mean, Lo chafatzti? She's an Eishes Ish. What do you mean, Lo chafatzti lekachta? So do you insist the man who married her has to give her a get? Because maybe the Kedushin Atopsin. And now the Yavam can say, now the Yavam is able to do Chalitza, Lo chafatzti lekachta. Even though she's not an Eishes Ish, I don't want to marry, I want to do Chalitza. And then maybe she'll remarry the other guy. Maybe we'll allow her, maybe we'll permit it to remarry the other
chalitza
guy, maybe not.
The chalitza doesn't act like a grusha?
Huh?
The chalitza doesn't act like my goddess?
It does, like, yeah.
So then how could he remarry her then? After he divorced her and he gave her chalitza,
yeah.
So how can he remarry her?
If he would be a kohen, he wouldn't be allowed to. A kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha, not allowed to marry a chalitza, midirabon.
Even Israel cannot marry
if she married someone else in between. No, here she didn't marry someone else in
between.
She didn't marry anybody else in between. Yeah. So that's the practice. That's the practice. If the woman remarried, because she didn't know, the woman remarried. So we don't allow the Yavam to do the Chalitza. Usually they just don't do Chalitza in America. They never heard of it. But if somehow they do find out, then we would insist that the second husband should give her a get. And then the Yavam is able to do the chalitza and say with a straight face, lechafatzi lekachta. Because kozman now there's an isa kares, so you can't do chalitza. There's no zika when there's an isa kares. So first you have to give the get, and then. So usually the din, whenever there's a machlekes Rav Shmuel, usually the din should be an isa deheta like Rav. And here the Gemara says, Omele Rav Meir Baruch Le Rav Ashi, Yocham Rav Meim, Aloha Kabasi Du Shmuel. We paskin like Shmuel that it's a sveke de dina. That's how it says in Shulchan Aruch. It's a sveke de dina. He need to get me something. So the Gemara is going to elaborate on this theme. To what extent do we consider the zika, the relationship between the Yavam and the Yavama, to what extent do we consider it like issues, and to what extent not? So take, for example, the dinas Eshus Isha Zinsa becomes a Sait Asur Al Baila. What about Yavama Shazinsa? She knows that she's supposed to have chalitza, and she goes and she has an affair with someone else before she has the chalitza. So today, we don't, by the Ashkenazim, we don't practice Yibum anymore. But let's say Bizman HaTanayim, Bizman HaGemar, that they still practice Yibum, where it says in Chumash. So is there a din that just like an Eish, Ish, Zinso, is not allowed to live with her husband? She's a Saita. So too, if the Yivam is Zinso, she'll be Asura to the Yom, she can't do Yibum, she can only do chalitza. Well, no, that's only if you have a real Eishes Ish. But here's not an Eishes Ish. It's only a Zika. So the Gemara is going to quote Rav Hamnuna, says like that. That Yivam Shezinsa Asu Ala Yovam. The Gemara is going to discuss that we paska like him. Should we paska like him? So the Gemara is going to introduce Rabbi Akiva. What exactly, that there are many different versions of what Rabbi Akiva was outvoted on this. Rabbi Akiva holds that Chavi Lavin and Kiddushin Tovsin. So there are four different versions of what Rabbi Akiva said. All of them have been rejected. We don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. It's all of four different versions. So that's going to be a rich discussion. Okay, believe that. We'll have to learn it next week. And this week's Sedra, you have the story about the Akedah. We assume that the Siris Nefesh that the Jewish nation has for Shmiris HaMitzvahs, people give up their lives. Religious Jews, when faced with a threat that they'll take their lives unless they convert to another religion, so the din is, you're supposed to give up your life. So we have that sort of ingrained in our bones from the days of the Akedah, that Avram and Yitzchak were prepared to give up the life of Yitzchak The Rebbe Shalom told him that's what he wants. Then Rebbe Shalom said, you misunderstood. But he was prepared to do that Mesiris Nefesh. We do it now also. So it's interesting, the pasuk says, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, he woke up early in the morning. What was his big rush? To lose the one and only son that he had from his wife, Sarah. He had a child from Hagar, but that was his Shivcha Mitzvah. Why did he rush in the morning? So the Gemara says, Riz Magdim Le Mitzvah. He knew it's a mitzvah, and you have to do it as early as possible. So the Gemara learns out from here, Milak Shera Kol Hayom. But you should do the bris milah as early as possible in the day. It's not right to postpone the bris milah. It shows that you appreciate the mitzvah. If you do it as early as possible, you show you appreciate the mitzvah. In Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, they have a discussion. If someone has a bris on Rosh Hashanah, so at what point in the daven? They used to do the bris in shul. Every day, the minhag used to, years ago, the minhag used to be, do the bris after davening before aleinu. Because many is after the bris milah, say aleinu l'shabech shalosh san kegayehu aratzes. We're different from the Umas son. We have a bris milah, and we believe in Hashem Echad, and they have the Avodah Zarah. Don't have a bris milah, they believe in Avodah Zarah, and so on. So the minig always was say aleinu after the bris. So the minig was, he do the bris in the shul before aleinu. Today you have a big shul, and not everybody plans to stay to the bris after people want to run to work. So you say aleinu, you say the shir shal yom, and then the half of the people that stay for the bris, and then they say aleinu again after the bris is over. But when they used to have smaller kehillah, so they always had the bris right before aleinu. So in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, they quote that's the way they presented that Rashi sent the shaila to the Aruch. How did Rashi know how to send mail to the Aruch? Aruch lived in Rome. Rashi lived in Germany, France and Germany. I don't know. That's what they quote Rabbeinu Shloimeh, and they say that it's Rashi sent the Shaila to Rashi. Ever so often quotes the Aruch, so they say that Rashi sent the Shaila to the Aruch. When you have a bris on Rosh Hashanah, when you perform the bris of Shulchan Aruch, they quote that we say Schobris Avram Akedas Yitzchak, and the shofar we blow shofar Shalayel Zechal Akedas Yitzchak. So we have the bris right before the Tkiyah shofar, right before the Tkiyah shofar. So the Prima Gadim asks, why did they all of them, what was the shaila that they raised on Rosh Hashanah? What do you do all year long? When do you do the bris? At the end of the davening, right before later. So do the same thing on Rosh Hashanah? At the end of the davening, right before later. So the Prima Gadim says, on Rosh Hashanah, you can't do that. Because we say so many piyutim, it takes forever. So you don't finish the davening, you don't get to say later until after Chatzos. So after, to postpone the bris till after Chatzos, that's a violation of Zvizim Magdim. You should really do early, but you don't do before the davening because Tari B'Shena Tari Tari Kaidim. You don't do it even Musaf also. It's Tari B'Shena Tari. You do Musaf before you do the Bris Milah. Normally, on a normal Shabbos and Yom, you daven Musaf before the Bris. But on Rosh Hashanah, that the practice in most of the shuls is, they don't finish Musaf till after Chatzos. So that would be a bitul. That would be a violation of Zvizma. Today, a lot of people schedule lachatchila the bris for the afternoon because they want more people to be able to come. That's not right. The poskim, the pischei tshuva, and Yeridei Hilchos Bris says that it's not right. That they complain against the chazanim who sing lo nigunim on Shabbos in the davening, and they waste time, and it comes out the bris is going to be on a normal Shabbos, it's going to be after chatzos. So they complain that's not right. That's a violation of Shrizim Magdiv. Usually, right. So, very often people will attend a bris, but a pinyan ben doesn't have as much mazel. So, if you're going to have a pinyan ben early in the morning, you'll have very few people attend. So that's why the common practice is: you have the pinyan ben late in the afternoon, before the shkia. It's supposed to happen on Yom Laman Aleph. So you expect to have more people attend. So the practice is that we are madif to have roivam harismel, to have more people attend rather than to have tzviz magdim in the mitzvah. So all of the poskim point out that that's not really right, because the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that by the tkiyas, right? So it says the practice used to be that they blew tkiyas in the middle of shachris, chazar salshatz in the middle of shachris. But the shul was half empty, everybody came to shul in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah and the days of the Tanoim. So nonetheless, it's preferable, let them figure out what they're going to do. It's preferable to do Zriz Magnimim, to blow Shofar and Shachris, even though you're going to be in violation of Roivam Hadas Melch. If they would save the Tkiyas Tamusa, it would be a much bigger crowd. They moved the Tamusa because of a whole historical explanation. The Gemara says they were blowing Shofar, and the government thought that they'd married Ben Malchus, so they didn't want to get into trouble. So that's why they moved it to Musaf. But really, Meikar Adin, the Gemara says, preferable to blow Shofar in Chazaras HaShatz of Shachris, even though you had more people present in Shul by Musaf. So that's what they all point out. You see from that Gemara that Ziz Magdimen takes precedence over Rav Amar's Melch. So they all complain that by Pinyan Aben it's not really right. Pinyan Aben should really be done in the morning. Then other poskim say not allowed to, the father of the baby is not allowed to eat before he does the mitzvah. So he has to, they're going to have the Pinyan Aben late in the afternoon, right before the Shkia. So he can't eat all day long. Anyway, the Hashivas is to do the mitzvah first thing in the morning. Tzaddik and Hasidim Anshei Maisa would shake a lulav by the Hasidim for sure. They would shake the lulav the first thing in the morning when they woke up. L'chatchil, you're not supposed to say brach on the lulav before Haneitz HaChamav. So they would wait till after the sunrise, and they would sleep in the silk, and they would wake up in the morning. They would bench Esrig in the silk. They quote from the Arizal that there's an Inyan, the bench Esrig in the sukkah. What's the Hashivas, the bench Esrig? So by some Chassidish Rebbes in Borough Park, that's the practice when on Sukkot, after they finished davening Shachris and the Chazan didn't say Halal yet, so everybody takes the Rebbe's, the Rebbe goes to the Sukkot and he gives everybody his Esrig in the first 2 days in Nida, Matan, Manasal, Hachzeh. Everybody wants the Besh Esrig on the Rebbe's Esrig and Lulav in the Sukkot. So it's a long pause of an hour. And then they come back into the Shul and then they say Halal. And then they say Kaddish Tiskabel an hour and a half after they finish davening Shachris. Why? Because you got a bench esrig in the sukkah. So that's what it means. Bench esrig in the sukkah in the middle. So the Mishnah Berurah says he doesn't know what that means from the Arizal. The idea of bench, he's guessing. He thinks that what it probably means is you're sleeping in the sukkah, wake up in the morning, wash negelvasi, bench esrig in the sukkah, the first thing when you wake up in the morning, it was after night tachama. But not that you're ready all dressed and you're ready down the Shachris, then you go out to the sukkah in order to bench esrig. He doesn't think that it means that. Or if you sleep in the house, sleeping, many people in New York don't sleep in the sukkah, you sleep in the house. Then you walk out into the sukkah in order to bench esrig. He doesn't know if that's what the Arizal meant. He thinks that it probably means first thing in the morning. That's Riz Magdina Mitzvah. You want to demonstrate that. There's a Chavivus to the Mitzvah. A lot of people are lazy about coming to shul on time, so they come like, that's terrible. You don't show a chashivas to the mitzvah of davening. You have to come early. You have to be able to say all the birchas hashachar before the chazan, whoever's going to be the chazan. And then when the chazan says the 15 birchas hashachar, you answer amen. So many poskim say that counts for mea brachas. You said 15 brachas, then the chazan says the same 15 brachas, you say amen. Even though you don't need his brachas to be yotzei, you already said the 15 brachas. So the Mishnah Berurah says the only time you count someone else's bracha is he's saying Kiddush, he's saying Abdullah, he's saying a bracha that I'm yotze with it. But if he's saying his own bracha, he's saying Shahakala, Hashayotza, something, your amen doesn't help, doesn't count. But many other poskim before the Mishnah Berurah held not so. So people should come on time. They should put on the talis and tefillin on time. They should start davening on time. You have to come to shul on time.
You usually say if you come on time, you're late.
You have to come 10 minutes early. Exactly, you are late. You are late. Avad said this. We learned that from the Akedah. By Yashkim Avram Abayker, even though it's against his interest, he's going to lose his son. But he knew that that's what the Ribbon Shalom instructed him. So he woke up bright and early in the morning to do the mitzvah.
Actually, I called you.
If
you're coming on time, you're late.
Exactly. My wife makes fun of me, but I think it's true.
Yes.
Thank you.